Since the words are so familiar, perhaps we have all leaned either publicly or privately on the words of Psalm 23, that they hold within them such history, said by so many people in so many circumstances, and then they are filled with such comfort. For as we have said them, we are reminded of the presence of God that is always with us. As the psalmist says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." That the circumstances might change. It could be in the wake of a funeral or after the devastation of a tornado or through the problems with a friendship or dealing with the heartache of regret. But those familiar words point us towards what we hold in common, that we call out for the Spirit of God to restore our souls. That the church started with a common bond. That the Spirit of God blew through the room of Pentecost, gathering the people together, showing them how they were connected in a way they had not seen before. And then they started to gather together on the first day of the week, because that was the day of resurrection, that every Sunday is like a little Easter. And they gathered around the table with one another in order to break bread, to pray for others, to sing psalms, to learn about the ways of Jesus that continued to shape their life with one another, that they held all things in common in order to tend to the needs of one another. And around the table, they discovered joy and laughter, tears and grief, hope and healing. They discovered what it is that we hold in common with one another. And once we discover those things that we hold in common that connect us to one another in ways perhaps we hadn't noticed before, it changes how we see ourselves, how we see others, and how we see this world. As one writer says, the story of faith is the story of life. Families and homes, blessing and curse, conflict, loss, hope, love, and more. That in Scripture, faith and life are so intertwined that a reader would be hard-pressed to know where one begins and the other ends. And as we have been apart from one another, perhaps we have discovered yet again what it is that connects us to each other. That the story of life and faith always has joy and laughter, tears and grief. But we usually do not experience those things in isolation from one another. That something is missing when we cannot gather. That in our grief, we would normally get together with a friend for coffee. We would sing with our family of faith, "A mighty fortress is our God." We would sit in this room surrounded by the support of the community of faith. We would share our lives with each other because it is healing. And because we hold those things in common. But we are never truly alone, even when we are apart. There is something bigger that binds us together. Like it says in the Gospel of John, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. That in John chapter 10, in addition to calling Jesus the gatekeeper, it refers to Jesus as a shepherd. In that long tradition where the leaders of Israel were called shepherds, and God called those shepherds to care for the sheep, to tend to the larger flock, particularly those who were vulnerable. And whenever we feel vulnerable, we can remember that God calls out our names and that we are a part of something bigger. That Jesus says, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." That we are bound to one another by the abundance of God's love. It always reaches beyond the distance that is between us. But how do we grieve when we are apart? We would normally cope by going about our normal routine, which escapes us right now. We would sit down and open up and share how we feel with others. We would gather on Sunday with the community of faith to worship and be reminded of God's grace. That grieving alone is different. And there are additional losses right now that we are not used to. The loss of stability, the loss of jobs, the loss of senior graduation, the loss of celebrations, birthdays and weddings, the loss of funerals, the loss of gathering. I brushed up against this grief about a month ago, when my grandmother passed away. And there were phone calls to make, but not a funeral to plan, at least for right now. And so often when we gather with others in the wake of a loss, stories are told. They are our way of celebrating a person's life, of offering our thanksgiving to God and seeking hope and healing, that stories are our best tools for seeking out God's goodness and grace. So, in the absence of gathering with others, I sat down just for myself, wrote a story from my grandmother's life. A story about what I had lost and about what I had gained. Because that is what we find in a memory. It is what we have lost, but it is also what we keep with us going forward. That those stories, are what we carry with us going forward, and also what carries us forward through our grief. That if you are carrying the weight of loss this morning, I invite you to sit down in the coming days and to write a story. Write about what you have lost, and write about what you keep and will take with you going forward. You might write about the loss of senior graduation, what it would mean to you to hear your name called out loud and to walk across that stage and throw your hat in the air. But then write about a moment from your senior year for which you give thanks, a moment that has shaped who you are, that you will take with you into the years to come. Or write about the loss of stability, what it has been like to feel the ground beneath your feet shift and to feel unstable and not sturdy. But then write about a moment of grace which has surprised you along the way. Or write about the loss of a loved one, what you would have said at the funeral, or a story you would have told with your larger family around the kitchen table. A story that makes you laugh or that allows you to cry as you give thanks to God for the goodness of that person's life. It is not the only way to grieve, but it is one way to grieve as we are apart. And whenever we discover what it is that we hold in common with one another, we see yet again the abundance of God's love that holds us to one another, even when there are things trying to pull us apart, that we stand in solidarity with each other in the same way that God stands in solidarity with us. As the psalmist says, "You prepare a table before us. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long." Amen.